We're discussing Machlokas Rishonim regarding an Ones B'Sof Hazman. The simple pshat in our Gemara and Beis Mabeis is that Ones B'Sof Hazman is considered to be an Ones. After all, the Gemara mentions a case of Asa B'Sof Tvosin Yoma and Paske Mabara. And that certainly is considered to be a case of Ones, even though one certainly could have argued that the person should have come earlier. The stakes are so high. Whether he's married or whether he's divorced, what is he waiting for the last minute, hoping that he'll be able to make it on time? But nonetheless, the Gemara says this is a case of Ones. And we saw in Muki Yosef and Bava Kam and Daf Yudama Beis that writes that Huat Denami, when it comes to Tefillah, that if a person procrastinates and yet was an Ones or Shogeg, the Sof Hazman, there's an ample opportunity for Tashlumin, even though ideally he should not have done so. And the same thing is true when it comes to a Din Daraisa regarding a Kim Shvur, a Kim HaNeder. If a person had a chance to be Makayim the Neder, but nonetheless there was an Ones B'Sof Hazman, that Al-Kadin is considered to be an Ones. And we pointed out that in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Ches in Arachayim, there again the Mechaber writes at Yesh Lo Tashlumin. And interestingly, the Ramah in Yeradei and Reish Lamed Beis, there quotes the two days. When it comes to the Din Darais of Shvuah, there already he quotes the Machlokes Rishonim, whether in fact this is considered to be a legitimate Ones or whether it's not. Good. So the second day that the Ramah quotes is the Shita of the Aguda that writes that, what do you mean? If there was ample opportunity to do so before, it was only an Ones which was B'Sof Hazman, Al-Pidin that is not considered to be an Ones at all. And the Raya that the Aguda brings is from the Parsha of Bat Yerichoma, that the Mishnah tells us in Erechim, in Perek Tes Mishnah David, that there was a particular problem. The Mocher would sell his home, the Bayis, the Yerichoma, he would have the year to engage in Pidyon. If he didn't do so at the end of that time, then the Lokeach would be able to keep that forever. It would not be Chozer, be Ovel. So Hil HaZaken was concerned about the following. You know what's going to happen? The Lokeach is going to go into hiding, trying to avoid the Mocher, because he does not want that buyback to occur. So therefore, Hil instituted the following, that simply, all you have to do is deposit the money in the Lishka, and that will ensure the proper buyback, and that will resolve this difficulty of being able to locate the locale. So Gudda writes the following. Isn't that a case of an Ones Gomor? Here the Mocher is trying to find the locale in order to buy back his home, and the locale purposely is avoiding him, that it shouldn't take place. Doesn't he have a legitimate taina to say, Mamish, an Ones Gomor? Right? The person is going into hiding. Hayinitman. And yet, it was necessary for Hillel to make such a takana. Apparently, without that takana, we would have said that the house remains b'yad halokeach. Why is that true? Because an ones, b'sof hazman, is not considered al pidin to be an ones. That's the chiddush that the Aguda writes. Good. So he pointed out that Taz writes the following. Maybe one could be marcha d'raya, very simply, just on practical grounds. Maybe enoch inami. If, in fact, the mocher will come to Bezdin and will convene a din torah, he can demonstrate how often he attempted to pay back the lokeach, and the lokeach was not to be found, say, nachinami. Maybe Bezdin would, in fact, say that that's considered to be an ones gamur, and they would allow now pidyon to take place. But that can be a very difficult process. Lokeach is going to claim that, what do you mean? I was here, and I was waiting for him. He didn't show up. He's arguing that the moment that I left to do something, then he came. So in order to avoid that deal, in order to make it as easy as possible, say, Nachinami, that was the takana of Hillel, okay? You don't have to hand it to Lokeach, just deposit Lishka, and that is considered to be sufficient. Or as the Taz writes, it's clear from the Mishnah, you can deposit the money to Lishka, and you can access the home immediately. Shover Esadales, you can break into the house. It's yours. That certainly will not be the case if you have to have the due process in order to determine whether, in fact, you made the attempt or whether you did not make the attempt. So the Taz writes, perhaps the Raya of the Aguda is no Raya whatsoever. That takana of Hillel HaZaken was not because otherwise you had no recourse. It was just to make it much more easy for the Mocher to be able to access the home and to engage in Pinyon. For our purposes, though, of Lumdus, we're bothered by the following. And this is what the Ksos discusses in Siman Nun Hei. That case of Aguda, is that considered to be an instance of an Ones B'Kiyum Hatznai or an Ones in a case of Bitl Hatznai? So Poshub Shat, that's what the Ksos assumes, that that's an example of Ones regarding Bitl Hatznai. Let's say a person, for example, is Makdish Shechefen. Good. So right now it has a Chalos Hekdish. I have a Schus of Pidyon. I can be Podim Yad Hekdish, that's fine. But the Hekdish certainly is Schal immediately. And Kozman that I was not Poda, it absolutely belongs to Hekdish. I have an opportunity to do so. L'chora hu adinami. This is an absolute mechira. That bias is nikne lokeach miad. But rather, the Torah says a great chiddush that b'shus b'yad hamocher lifdosa. He has the right of geula. He has the right of pidyon. But kol zman that that does not take place, the mechira was an absolute mechira. So in which case, if there is an onus, what does that mean? All the mocher can claim is, as a result of the onus, I was unable to fulfill the tnai. Onus bebitul ha-tnai. So what's the halacha in onus bebitul ha-tnai? So that we saw. That's the chiddush of the Yerushalmi, Pashup Shat, the Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And according to Rabbi Yochanan and Shita, that what do you mean that onus is not considered to be kiman da'avad? So if that's true, one could be marche the raya of the Agudah Lagamre. That's the case of onus bebitul ha-tnai. Enochinami, that's exactly the difference between our sugi as opposed to bat derech oma. Our sugi is an example of an onus bekiyum ha-tnai, im lo basi. And here, this is considered to be an onus in bitul ha-tnai. An onus is not considered to be kiman da'avad. One can argue onus rachona patre. We're not going to hold you for responsible for failure to do so, but you can't argue it's as though you were podet. Or that the time allowance should be extended. The Torah says you can only be poled until this point and no further. How do you understand the Chiddush of Aguda? Pashup Shat, one has to argue one of two ways, according to the Ksos. Either Eino Chinami, that the Aguda is exactly as the Shita Saran. We saw that Ran and Kedushin, where the Ran raised the issue of the difference between the case of the Yerushalmi and the case of our Sugim Ksuvas and Abbeis. And the Ran did not distinguish between Kiyum Hatnai versus Bitul Hatnai. The Ran was of the opinion that if Onus Rachmana Patre, that will equally apply in cases of Kiyum Hatnai, our Sugya, as well as in cases of Bitul Hatnai. And the great Chiddush of the Ran is even Rabbi Yochanan admits to this. Rabbi Yochanan just thinks that Kedushin is in fact different, because who says that that was necessarily the Dasa Yisha? That was Rabbi Chanan's Hochakira. Whether Onas Rachman or Patri is considered to be Nasus Mela, Pavkos, Hamais, in which case it can only work in one direction. You can say it's as though the act was not done, but you cannot say that it's Nasus Mela, and therefore it's as though the Tznai was accomplished. That certainly you can't say. But if you say it's simply a function of das or umdana, then one could argue in both directions. One could say that when I made the neder, when I made the shvua, when I made the kinyan, when I did the maisa kedushin, maisa gerushin, I had in my normal circumstances. I did not envision extenuating circumstance, whether it was something that was responsible for the kiyum hatnai, or whether those extenuating conditions were responsible for the bitul hatnai. So either the agud is assuming, like the chiddush of the Ran, or this will be within the Shita of Reish Lakish in the Yerushalmi. After all, even those who disagree with the Ran and maintain that there's a difference between Kiyum HaTnai and Bitul HaTnai, the Shita of the Ritva, the Shita of the Ra'ah, I have to deal with that Yerushalmi. So Rabbi Chanan just simply suggests that in Achinami, that goof is the machlokus between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish comes up with this great chiddush that an onus is kimanda avar even Bitul HaTnai. And Rabbi Yochanan, who disagrees categorically, not just in the case of Kedushin. Even in cases of Gerushin, he would disagree. There's no way in the world you can argue that an onus is kiman da'avad. So either the agud is within the Shita of Reish Lakish, or one would argue, Pashup Shat, like the Chiddush of the Ran, that everyone agrees that an onus is considered to be kiman da'avad. Even if you assume this is true, you still have to explain what the agud would do with our Gemara. Agudah uses a great chiddush that an onus b'sof hazman is not considered to be an onus, and that's his raya. See, even lots of some good, his raya is a good raya. And then how is it that you're me'ashev our Gemara, where it's clear that asa b'sof t'lasin yoma al pidin is considered to be an onus? That's the aura of the Ktzos. So Nesivus just has the following crucial comment, where he writes, is it so simple, the structure that the Ktzos assumes, that really the kinyan is chal tekef umiyad, it's just a schus pidyon, like for example when it comes to pidyon hekdesh. Or maybe that's not true whatsoever. If you will construct bat erechom in a different fashion, so then one could argue very differently. One could argue, ein afinami, this is considered to be a case of an ones, bikim hatnai, not ones in bitul hatnai. Maybe the halach is the following, that the mocher obviously is near funds, he's selling off his bayis b'irchoma. How do we view that? There are two options. Do we view it as a mechira? Do we view it as halva? So maybe that's what the Torah tells us. If no pidyon occurs, then ein afinami, then it is considered to be a mechira. If, in fact, the maisa pidyon geula will occur, so in such an instance, it's simply considered to be halva. I forwarded money to this individual at the end of the year, right? He is paying me back. If that's true, so therefore the tna will be framed simply, if I do not redeem, then it is considered to be a mechira. If as a result of the onus I'm able to do so, that's considered to be an onus in the case of kiyum atnai, not a case of onus in bitul atnai. Of course, it seems striking at first glance. That's how bater echama works. Right, that somehow pending whether al kedin it's a halva or whether it's a mechira, and that depends on whether geula, whether pidyon is accomplished. We don't assume that's true when it comes, for example, to pidyon hekdesh. A person is mafdi something, so I'll tell you, we'll have to wait and see. Was this a chalos hekdesh or was it a halva? Of course not. The hekdesh is chalmia. The Torah says you have a right to be poldeh. But the Nesivos writes, when you take a look at that Sugin Erech and the Flam and Aleph, it's so clear. Because there the Mishnah and the Braisa the Gemara discusses is bothered by the problem of ribis. How in the world do we allow the whole Parsha, Bater Echoma, that should be a problem of ribis daraisa. That's what the Braisa says. Ribis daraisa can only be in a case of an absolute halvam, mamish ribis ksutsa, where the terms of the deal is we allow the malva A to be paid back and B to receive absolute benefit in interim. Good? How is that possible? You see, the Gemara assumes a great chiddush, the Eino Chinami, that if, in fact, that the original Mocher exercises his right to pidyon, this is not considered to be a mechira. Mechira is not ribis. Right? That's simple supply and demand. A person hopes to be able to buy low and sell high. That's a problem of ribis. Certainly not. But if you assume, no, it turns out that if the Mocher will buy back, but it was just simply a halva, in such a case, that should be a problem of ribis. Now the lokeach is lending, forwarding funds to the mocher, and in the interim he's living in the house, and there's no requirement for reduction. No? You have, for example, a simmer halacha when it comes to one who was sold as an eved, a concept of giron kesev and eved ivri. Good? So giron kesev means that you prorate the services. Makes very good sense, no? A person was purchased as an eved for X, but now he's been serving as an eved. So if he wants to buy back his cherus, so therefore he subtracts the time that he served in the interim. Very good. Here there's no such halacha. Here, the mocher has to buy back 100 cents on the dollar. That, the Gemara says, is ribis. Now, the lokeach is receiving every penny back, plus the use of the house for that window of time up to a year. Isn't that ribis? So the Gemara does not answer, absolutely not. This is considered to be Nekah Kumemkar. The Gemara says, Ein Achinami. This is considered to be the price that says, Ribiz Gemura, Ela Shah Torah, Tiraso. Ein Achinami, Akhidish. Without this, we'd say the whole concept, Abatar Echom is Aser. And even the Mishnah that tells us that this is not real Ribiz, this is similar to Ribiz, the Gemara explains Akhidish. That's not because they deny this whole concept. That's because the Mishnah is of the opinion that in order to have real ribis daraisa, it must necessarily result in ribis. I lend you $100, you must pay me back $125. If you and I, right, arrange a deal as such that there are a few options, I'm giving you $100, you can do A, B, C, and D, and sat echod beribis, and one of the options is paying me back in excess, that the Mishnah assumes is not ribis daraisa, that's only alpidin. Sarechad, your halva did not necessarily result in ribis, it possibly resulted in ribis. That's what the Gemara says is the machlokas between the Mishnah of Rice and Erech and Daf Lamed Aleph. Once you see that that's true, it turns out that Eino Chinami, that really it's not that the Mechira is Miyad, and with its Tnai that if I redeem, I have a right to buy back. No. It means that it will turn out that it was simply just Demei Halva, and the Tnai is, and if in fact I fail to do so, if I don't pay you back, then you have a right to foreclose, like a regular halva. No, the understanding is if I pay you back, and what's written in the terms of the loan, and if I don't pay you back, right, you can foreclose, a shibud nechasim. If that's the case in the Nesivos Reitz HaChidush, this is considered to be an instance of an onus, b'kiyum ha-Tnai. Then you understand very well the Chiddush of Agudah. You don't have to assume it's the Ram. You don't have to assume the Chiddush of Reish Lakish and Yerushalmi. This is a case simply of an Ones and Kiyum HaTnai. The difficulty now then is the following. If this should be a straight case of Ones but Kiyum HaTnai, so now how do you resolve this with the case of our Sugya? Our Gemara says an Ones B'Sof HaZman is considered to be an Ones. And the Agudah says, I'll give you a case where the Agudah assumes that's a case of Ones but Kiyum HaTnai, where onus b'sof hazman is not considered to be an onus. How do you resolve? that apparent difficulty. So one could argue, like the Taz, absolutely not true, right? The whole Takkan of Hillel Zaken was just simply to make it easier for the pidyon to take place. But imachinami, the taina of onus is legitimate taina. But according to the Agudah, and how do you distinguish between these cases? So here, Reb Chaim points out, this is in the Chedushei HaGrach in Gittin and Daf, Ayin Dal Mabeis, the following chiddush. Very often, right, a person can have, right, chalos, kinyan, gerushin, kedushin, whatever the case is, right, which is totally bizman. In some sense, there's a time dependence. How do you understand a tnai of zman? So Chaim writes that there are two very different possibilities, simply depending on the case at hand. In a normal case, you can say that a person is, let's say, creating a chalos gevish, and a chalos kedushin, and there is a condition that must be met, this particular act must be done, and there is a time frame within a certain amount of time. There Reb Chaim writes the following chiddush. There the element of zman, right, is not something which is inherent. All simply it is what we call a hagbola zman. It's just a frame. I say A must be done. A is the kiyum hatnai. So I'll ask, I can do it any time. A year, 2 years, 3 years, 10 years, indefinitely. What's the answer? No. We'll give you some type of limit. A must be done. A is the kiyum hatnai within this window of time. Whenever that word is used, within, so it means time is not part of the essence of the kiyum hatnai, it's just a restriction. The kiyum hatnai is the prescribed act, im basi, if you will pay, if you go through with nisuin, and I'm just putting a limitation that that act has to be done by this and this date. Sometimes Reb Chaim points out, it's very difficult, where zman is not just simply like the time frame, the window of time, but rather the zman is considered to be me'etzem kiyum hatnai. Let's assume, for example, a person does something al tnai. And Reb Chaim's example is, right, let's say there's an act of kedushin which is done. Amanas she teshamshias abba gimel shani. On the condition that you, right, serve my father for X amount of time. That's very different. Their time is an inherent aspect of the kiyum hatnai. This must be done continuously for this period. In the first case, all that is being demanded is a single act. And you'll ask me, can I do it at any moment? So I just put a cap on it, right? Adkan, within. If I say that I am doing something conditionally, something must be done for a period of time, or throughout a period of time, that's very different than saying within a period of time. Within a period of time, this simply means that the kiyum hatnai has to take place within this broad window. If I say you must engage in this activity, you must do this for 3 years, it's not sufficient to do it once in the 3 years. It means that it's something which is continuous. It means there the zman is considered to be an inherent part of the kiyum hatnai. You must do it and continue to do so, right, each day for that amount of time. Reb Chaim writes the following chiddush, that these two different ways of structuring a tnai of zman is crucial for our issue of an onus b'sof hazman. Suggest that the following chiddush, that when is it that the Agudah will argue that an onus b'sof hazman is not considered to be an onus, that's only in case one. If I say all that is necessary is that you have to do this, but do it within a certain window of time, look, you should have done so earlier. That you waited until the last minute, that's at your own risk. If an onus is going to surface, that's your fault. You should have davened b'tchilas zman tefila. You're going to wait until the very end and now claim something came up. then onus b'sof hazman is not considered to be an onus. That's the chiddush of the Agudah. Because all that's necessary is one isolated moment for Kiyum HaTnai. But if the Kiyum HaTnai is an extended one, this must be done, or this cannot be done throughout this entire period. Rav Chaim writes the following chiddush. If at any moment there's an onus, of course that's relevant. That means there was a period of time when the t'nai was unfulfilled, and the kiyum ha'tnai requires that this be or be not done continuously. That's the chiddush that Rav Chaim writes. So if you're discussing, for example, let's say tefillah, a person is obligated to daven at one particular moment within the entire Zman tefillah, good stuff. Good, will say that onus b'sof hazman is not considered to be an onus. What about when it comes to our sugya? Hari ze giteich im lo basi. What is the t'nai? Failure to come. What does that mean? Failure to come today, but I'll come tomorrow. No, the kiyum hatnai means failure to come entirely, throughout the entire window. Failure to come for the entire month. That is the kiyum hatnai. The fulfillment of the t'nai is lo basi. What does it mean, lo basi? I didn't come today, at this moment. No, lo basi throughout the entire period of time. That Reb Chaim writes, certainly. Onus b'sof hazman havi onus. If at any point there was an onus, that means that during that window of time, the t'nai of lo basi was not fulfilled, and that t'nai requires from start to finish failure to come. See, this chiddush Reb Chaim, you understand very well in light of what we discussed earlier. That onus in kiyum hatnai is not just simply onus rachmana patre. It's not called the kiyum hatnai. It's a hafka, nasis me'elav. That means if at any point in time you couldn't have come, it means for that period the t'nai of lo basi was unfulfilled. That's a great chiddush, no? Yeah, but you understand it in light of, right, the previous shiurim. It's a hafka. So therefore, true, I didn't come, I didn't show up, but the fact that I could not have arrived, paska mabara, means that that was not a fulfillment of the t'nai of lo basi. That was incidental. That was nasis me'elav. That's the chiddush that Reb Chaim writes. So everyone agrees with that. Good as disagreeing with our Gemara. Everyone agrees when you have a t'nai that creates a yischaivus either to do or to refrain from an entire period of time, well, of course an onus b'sof hazman is considered to be an onus. What's the issue, though? Right, getting back to our question of Bati Arechoma. Is that case one or is that case two? The pasuk says, I'm obligated to daven. Well, good. Rambam Shita, you have to daven once a day, right? Throughout the entire day, whatever. The Rabbanim you have, right? The chiyuv to daven shachas during a short window of time. Right? There, it's just a hagbalas hazman. So now you can discuss whether onus b'sof hazman is relevant or not. When you have a taste of a t'nai of lo basi, it means I can't, do not come throughout that entire period of time. That's the kiyum hatnai. The chakira is what about Bati Arechoma? Is that within or is that throughout? Does Bati Arechoma mean the following? That good, the mechira was accomplished, and I have a right to schus to be poden. Geulas, you'll ask me, for how long? For a year, for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. So what does the Torah say? A cap, within a year. You have a right to be posed within years, period of time. There one could argue that the Zman, right, is not inherent to Kiyum HaTnai. The Kiyum HaTnai is that to Pinyon. But there must be some limitation. I can be posed 50 years from now. The answer is, look, you have to be posed by this and this day. That means that the Tnai of Batar Echoma, right, is category one. You must be poda, you must engage in that act of ge'ula within a year. Or maybe one could argue very differently. It's very similar, right, to the Chiddush with Tzos and Nesivos of the following. Maybe it means the following. Failure to redeem, like lo basi. Failure to be poda, that is machlit. That is what creates, cements the fact that now the house belongs to the lokeach. And what does it mean, e geula, failure to be poda? If the mocher fails to be poda, now the house belongs, right, to the lokeach. And what is this man? Failure to be poda throughout the entire year. Not at any moment of the year, throughout the entire year. Failure to be poda. That is what is machlit. One could understand batar echoma, right, in one of two ways. If you understand simply that there's a option, a schus, a pidyon, or geula within the year, then it's category one. If, however, you'll argue that no, the failure to do so is what clinches, what triggers the deal, so that means failure to be poda throughout that entire Zman. Chaim suggests that the Aguda is assuming, as the first position, that there's a schus of pidyon, a schus of geula, within a certain amount of time. And that's the chiddush of the Aguda. If this Zman simply is category one, within, then the Aguda writes an onus b'sof hazman. It does not consider it to be an onus. Mashen came, the case of a tnai of lo basi, that means throughout, then everyone agrees, onus b'sof hazman is considered to be an onus. Rav Chaim goes a step further. He writes, if you look at the Rambam, it would appear that the Rambam assumes that the case of Batar Echoma is category two. Failure to redeem throughout the year. Comparable to our sugya of Im Lo Basi. He quotes the Rambam in Perek Yudbeis Halacha Ches of Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel, where the Rambam writes the following chiddush. Let's assume, for example, a person is makdish, a bayis b'batar echoma. So a person is makdish this house. And all of a sudden, the go'ala acher, and someone else is poda. When I'm makdish something, I have a right to be poda. Someone else can be poda as well. So I'm makdish this house, b'batar echoma. And someone else is poda. So the Rambam writes, I have a year, I'm the makdish, the original owner. I have a year to exercise my right of pidyon of geula, mishas hapidyon. From the time that he bought it back, from the time that he redeemed it from hektish. The Rambam writes, ve'ein mechashim mishas hektish. The clock doesn't start ticking from the time that I was makdish it, but rather we only begin from the time that he was poda. Why is that true? She'ein hektish cholet. Because after all, this halacha, right, that if a year's time passes, it is no longer yours, you lose your right, that doesn't apply to hektish. After all, the pasuk says, lakona oso, right, oso, as opposed to hektish. So Chaim writes the following chiddush. He writes that he thinks that this chiddush of the Rambam should be dependent on the two ways of understanding, Batei Reich HaOmah. If you simply understand that the Torah says, look, whenever something leaves your rishus, a bayis birchoma, you have a right to buy it back within the year. So why would one distinguish whether it's biyat acher or whether it's biyat hektish? At any time that this property is out of your rishus the period of the year, rights are lost. But if you'll argue, Chaim says, the second way, that it's the failure to redeem, that is what is cholet, that is what triggers, that what creates the fact that now it is theirs and not yours with no right of pedia. Right? Reb Chaim says that the geula, the failure to do so, that is machli tabayis lokeach. In such a case, he writes, that's exactly what the Rambam writes, that whole concept, failure to redeem is only relevant, failure to redeem from another, lakona oso, but not beyond hekdish. So you need a year's period of time where a person failed to redeem. That is the machayim. That is what creates the full kinyan. So the Rambam writes, the time that it's beyond hekdish does not register. So Reb Chaim suggests that perhaps this is the issue. The chiddush of Aguda. Everyone agrees, as our Gemara says, that if you're dealing with time, which is part of the Kiyum Hatnai, so it has to be continuous, it has to be perpetual. And then Ones would be insufficient, even if it was Ones only for part of the time. The issue that the Rishonim grapple with is the first case. When all the Zman is within a certain frame, Hagbalas HaZman, is onus b'sof hazman considered to be an onus or not? Just one ha'ara, according to the Chiddush Reb Chaim, right? One lechora would conclude as follows, which is a great, great, great Chiddush. How does Reb Chaim understand our Gemara? Right? The person has a tnai of lobasi and asa b'sof tlosin yoma, onus b'sof hazman havi onus. Why is that true? Because Reb Chaim writes the following, that the tnai is lobasi and the kiyum hatnai is you fail to come throughout. And if at any moment in time your failure to come was not conscious, was not deliberate, but as a result of ones, it's not considered to be a kiyum hatnai. So according to the Chiddush Reb Chaim, one would argue that the ones does not have to be the sof hazman. The Gemara presents a very dramatic presentation, no? The guy's coming the last day, he's running, and no, can't make it. What would happen, for example, if Poska Mabara, the bridge would be out on day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6? Pasha Pshat, according to Reb Chaim, that also would be failure to fulfill the Tanai of Lobasi. And Reb Chaim writes, that's the Chiddush of the Gemara. That Lobasi means that it's an extended period of time, which is continuous. And therefore, if there's an Ones at a particular point, Ones is a hafka, nasis me'elav, it's not a kiyum hatnai. Poshav shav, then lav dafk at all, but it has to be b'sof hazman. Even b'tchilas hazman, even b'toch hazman. If at any point in time he could not come, so therefore his failure to come cannot be called a kiyum hatnai. And enoch inami. Right? Even if poskamara b'emtza hayom, the same halach would apply. Al-Kadin, that's not considered to be a kiyum hatnai. And that would be a great finish. Right? But again, take a look at this piece Reb Chaim has, right, in Gittin and Daf Ayin Daleh Amud Beis, right, being Yashiv Ar Sugya, the light of the case of Magad. Okay. The Gemara tells us now in Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, right, the following. That if, for example, the kiyum hatnai was ba'ones, like our instance, the person did not come, but because paska mabara, so in such a case, midaraisa, that get should not be a get. There was no kiyum hatnai. The Gemara says a great chiddush that because of concerns of tznuos or perutzos, so therefore we let the get stand, and we'll allow the woman to remarry. that even though midaraisa this get is not a get, because mikra hadin yesh onus begitten, the chiddush of Rava, nonetheless mishum tsnuos mishum perutzos. Tsnuos, what's going to happen? This woman will never be willing to get married now. She'll always be concerned that maybe there wasn't a kiamat na'ai. Maybe the husband really intended to come, but he wasn't able to do so. So therefore, mishum tsnuos, mishum perutzos, so therefore the get is considered to be a get. So the Torah says that how can that be? Mika midi. No? Mamish nakiras davar min haTorah v'kumvesei. Midaraisa, the get is not a get. She's an eshes ish daraisa. And midrabana, because of concerns of prutzos, tsnuos, we're not going to allow the din daraisa to stay, but rather simply, that will argue that the get is considered to be a get. How can that be? The Gemara asked that miko midi, that midaraisa la habigita, mishum tsnuos, mishum prutzos, shun eshes ish la'alma. How can that be? So the Gemara tells us the great chiddush in Achinami. Called makadesh adayt the drabon makadesh, afkiner banu kedushim inay. And the Gemara says, and Rabbi Rav Ashi, I understand that that should work when it comes to kedushay keser. But how in the world do we understand this concept when it comes to kadosh b'viyah mikalem emar kedushay viyah? The Gemara says no, nonetheless. The very same shakla v'tarya, right, in a different case, applies to the Gemara in Gittin on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. There, the Gemara is commenting on the Mishnah, the very beginning of Perek HaShaleach, the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. This relates directly to what we discussed at the very beginning of this month. When do you need Eidus L'Kiyum Adav? No, we discussed the Machlokas Rishonim, the Rambam and the Ravid, right? Let's say when the Baal appoints a Shliach for the purpose of Gerishin, do you need Eidus L'Kiyum Adam? So the Rambam said, certainly not. No? But that's a unique halacha of Davar Sheberva, that a husband can divorce his wife Ayyadei Shliach? Certainly not. That's Shlichus B'Cholot HaRakuma. Rambam compared it to Afrashas Shimas and Isras. That just like you don't require Eidus L'Kiyum Adav for Shlichus for Truma, you don't require Eidus L'Kiyum Adav for Shlichus for Gerishin. And Ravid writes, how can you understand that? Well, Hafrash Shumas and Maishas doesn't require Eidim. So of course Minish Shlichus doesn't require Eidim. But Gidin and Kedushin, which is Dabar Shaber, no. Listen, in such a case, that certainly is required. Here the Mishnah discusses the next day. Gittel HaShlichus. A husband goes ahead and appoints a Shliach to deliver this get to his wife. And all of a sudden now, he has a change of heart. He decides that no, he's mevatel the shlichus. So what's the problem? If he'll do it bifnei hashliach, he'll tell the shliach, I changed my mind. I'm mevatel the shlichus. Do not deliver this get. You're not empowered to do so. Wonderful. The difficulty is the following. What happens if you have bitul hashlichus shelo bifnei hashliach? The Baal was mevatel the shlichus without the shliach being present. The shliach is absolutely unaware. The woman is absolutely unaware. He will continue and give the wife a get. The wife will have every reason to believe she's a grusha. She's holding on to her get. No, the truth is that the Baal was mevatel the shliach. Now she's going to get married. Mamzerus. Terrible. So therefore, the Mishnah says that hiskin Rama Gamil Hazakin Shalo Yosin came, Mipnei Tikkun Olam. Rama Gamil said, you can't do such a thing. You cannot be Mevatel Shlichus Shalo Bifnei Hashliach. Because look what's going to happen. No one's going to know about this. Again, that's the Machlokas Rishonim. That's the Tosis and Daf Lamed Beis and Aleph and Gittin, and the Tosis and Daf Lamed Beis and Beis, and the Tosis and Daf Lamed Gimel and Aleph. What exactly did he do? Do you need Eidus L'Kiyum Adav for Bitul HaShlichus? One thing's clear from the Mishnah. He was Mevatel Beget Shelo Bifnei HaShliach. But what actually did he do? Is there any need to do so in the presence of Eidim? Or maybe even Beino Ben Atzmo? By himself, he can declare bitul hashlichus. That's a pretty crucial machlokes. No, today isn't Tosfos. Whether edus l'kiyum adavar is necessary for bitul hashlichus, that lachora should tie in with what we discussed in the very first year. Does it affect the davar shaberava? Absolutely. Whether this guy is or is not a shliach l'baal will determine whether this woman is an eishes ish, whether she's a grusha. Is bitul hashlichus das davar shaberava? No, it's just mina shlichus. Bitul shlichus. So Tosfos says two dayos. Whether it's necessary to do so in the presence of Edim. But there's no need, midaraisa, to do it in the presence of the shliach. But Rav Gimel Zaken says, it'll be terrible what's going to happen. So therefore, don't do it. Comes the Gemara in Gittin Daf Lamed Gimel and Aleph, what happens b'di'evet? The Baal was mevatel l'shliach shelo bifnei ha-shliach. He violated this takana of Rav Gimel Zaken. So what happens? So the Gemara says that Rebbe Shit is bitla mevuto. Shlichus is batel. Rabban Gamliel said, you shouldn't do it. We can envision what's going to happen. A woman's holding on to a get. Mamish ishtar kinin ishtar raya, that she's a grusha. And it's meaningless. But Rebbe says, bottom line, bitla mevuto. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, makof bez din yafa. Rabban Gamliel Hazakin got up and said, don't do it. And what are you going to argue? If a person just ignores the takana of Gamliel Hazaken, he'll get away with it. So therefore, a great chiddush of Shimon Gamliel says that bitlo ainu mavuto. The takana of Gamliel Hazaken was bidyeved. That we will not allow the bitl to take place. It's ineffective. Tosfos assumes a great chiddush, but even Rebbe at times also will agree, bitl ainu mavuto. Tosfos assumes, and therefore, my beis and gittin, a great chiddush, that even according to Rebbe, you have to do the bitl in front of some people, either in front of two or in front of three, if no one was present. Even Rebbe would agree that bitl ainu mavuto. That certainly is going to lead to mamzerus. Right, in the privacy of your own home, you're mevato the shliach. And Tosfos assumes midaraisa, that would be good, because there's no need for the kiyum adavar. No one knows. So you're going to keep the secret that the get that he gave your wife is nothing, and she'll remarry children, mamzer, and terrible. So in such a case, the bittul is ineffective. Ineffective. The Gemara says, how can that be? The same shaklevetayin of our Gemara. Midaraisa, the bittul ha-shlichus is the bittul ha-shlichus. When the shliach gave her the get, that was not a ma'aseh gerushin. And because of this very serious concern, the possibility of mamzerus, shemir neishes li shlama. How can that be? The Gemara says again, mika midi, that midaraisa the get is nothing. And the chachamim saying, no, we'll let the get stand. How can that be? And the same chiddush as our Gemara, called mekadesh, hafkina rabbanan. Is there a difference in kesef as opposed to bia? The Gemara suggests yes. The Gemara answers no. Unbelievable. That's the further case of kod makadesh, a daiton makadesh. Famous Tosfos in Gittin Daf Lamed Gimel Aleph, Dermaskov Afginu. Yicholam amzer lehitar. Tosfos says, let's use this as a vehicle to be mitar amzer. Unbelievable. Tosfos kasha. No. What happens? A woman was married. And all of a sudden now, without a get, whatever, right? She was mizana, there's a child, the child's a mamza daraisa. Tosfos writes, we can resolve that problem, no? If we can get the husband to cooperate, you know what we'll tell the husband? Give your wife a get, al yedei shliach. Unbelievable, no? And before the shliach actually delivers the get, you know what we'll tell the husband to do? Be mevatel the shlichus. And now we'll take over. Like, mevatel the shlichus. Terrible. They're in Russia. Don't you realize that there could be problems with this? You know what we're going to do? We're going to uproot the original Kedushin. Meaning that at the time that she was mezaneh, she was a pnuya. She was not an eishes ish. Tosa says, we can use this vehicle of Hafkas Kedushin to Matar Mamzerim. It's an important issue. We'll have to see the Shidduch Betzos in our Sugya, whether that really is the case. Whenever we institute the Hafka, does it really mean the Mafreya? Or is it only Mikan Labot? Tosa says, Poshav Shad. It means that Kedushin was never Chal. It doesn't mean that the get's a good get. It means that the Kedushin was Nekar l'mafreya. No, so therefore, that's the vehicle of the Hafkan, our sugi here in Ksuvas and Daf Gimel, and the Gemara in Gittin and Daf, Lama Gimel is one. So we'll have to see how this works. What is the mechanism? I've called the Makadesh, I've died through the Makadesh. And why the Gemara thinks that there should be a difference, right, between cases of Kedushe Keser as opposed to cases of Kedushe Bina. Normally speaking, right, as we've discussed many times, the Gemara says this cannot be done. This must be some separate halacha. Otherwise, this would be an absolute akiras davar min haTorah, and the Chachamim have no right to do so. The Chachamim have a right to make dinim d'rabbanan. That's clear. Right. I've often mentioned, the Gemara quotes two very different psukim. The Gemara Yevamos Naftaf Aleph is dealing with the Gzeira. What right did the Chacham have to make Gzeiros Rabbanan? The case in the Gemara is Shnios Narayos. So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk of Reikri Ches, Ushmartim Es Mishmartim. The Gemara in Shabbos Naftaf Gimel, the Sugi of Ner Chanukah, what right did the Chacham have to make a Takon of Ner Chanukah? Heichen Sivanu. There the Gemara quotes the Pasuk of Lo Sasur. So no doubt, right, the Chacham are granted the possibility, the koach of takana, the koach of gzera. But there clearly are certain limitations. What is this chiddush? Why is it necessary to have a Pasuk of Ushmartim Es Nishmartim? Why is it necessary to have a Pasuk of Lo Sasur? The answer is very simply. Because I would have said, altering or adding in any shape or form to the mitzvah of Torah, that's an issur d'oraisa of Bal Tosif. So comes the Gemara and tells us that no, when the Torah gives license to the Chacham to do so, obviously, that is part of the mitzvah Hashem, that is not considered to be an issur Bal Tosif. And the Rambam writes the great Kiddush in Perek Beis Halachates, Hilchos Mamrim, where the Rambam writes, if the Chachamim overreach, and they try to institute a din d'rabbanan that is not covered by Ushmartim Es Mishmartim, or not covered by Lo Sasur, Enoch Inami, they violate the Siddharis of Bal Tosif. The Rambam gives you the following example. Good, the Chacham may have a right to create din d'rabbanan, but it has to be absolutely clear that what they are creating is a din d'rabbanan. If they present it as a din d'araisa, the Chachamim, the Sanhedrin, will declare that Bisar Ov B'Cholav is forbidden in HaTorah. The Rambam writes, that's an Issa D'Araisa Bal Tosif. You have the right to do so. That's the Rashi we discussed in Beis at length, at the very beginning of the Masechta. Where Rashi writes that Ein Gozrin Gzeir the Gzeir does not just to simply mean the Chachamim did not feel that it was necessary to make Gzeir the Gzeir. Rashi writes, it's usher to make Gzeir the Gzeir. No license is given to the Chacham to do that. Ushmartim es mishmarti, asu mishmeres to mishmarti, velo, mishmeres to mishmeres. That means it's an isser. It's an isser about the osir. These cases are when the Chachamim create a takana, create an exer regarding that which is neutral. What about akiras dover minatorah? Do the Chachamim ever have a right to create a takana d'rabbanan and to smack, go against? So that's the sugis, you know, in Yevamos Naftzadi and Beis. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. That also depends. And there the Gemara distinguishes between Sheva Tasa as opposed to Kumvesei. In both cases, it's clear from the Gemara that it's only allowed the Migdar Nosa. The Chacham can only engage in Akiras Dov Men HaTorah if somehow they are protecting and preserving that a more chomer din daraisa. Don't be tokeh b'shofar Hashem Chavos b'Shabbos to safeguard the Kedushim HaShabbos. It must be Lemigdar Milsa. Given that it is Lemigdar Milsa, the Gemara makes the following distinction. If it's B'Shev Al Tasa, good, then you can have such a Gzera, such a Takana. If it's B'Kum B'Esei, then Migdar Milsa is insufficient. There it can only be a Horasha. You can't have a Takana L'Doros of Akira Stav Min HaTorah B'Kum B'Esei. So B'Shev Al Tasa, Rosh Hashanah Shecha B'Shabbos, Sukkah Shecha B'Shabbos, Sadim B'Tzitzis, that can be a mitzvah l'doros. If something is a harasha, then it can even become v'esei. The Gemara gives you an example of Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel. Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel, right? Did that which was an issur d'oraisa otherwise, no? Offering a karban outside of mikdash, how is he allowed to do so? The answer is, it was a harasha, the Migdash Milsa. No? It was a harasha, it wasn't a mitzvah kavul l'doros, and the Migdash Milsa, in order to serve as the vehicle for Knesset Yisrael to be chozer b'tshuva. What's the makar of Akiras Dovim in HaTorah? Very unclear. Right, that whole Sugya Yevamos of Tzeni Mabeis doesn't mention any makar at all. For the Yesh Koach B'Yad Chacham Lakar Dovim in HaTorah. If you look in the Rambam, Perek Beis of Hilchos Mamrim, Halacha Dalid, the Rambam gives two different makaras, a svar and a pasuk. Svar the Rambam writes is k'shem sherofei chotech yado raglo shel zeh kedei sheichle kulo. Sometimes, Rachmanu Litzlan, a doctor has to amputate a limb to save a body. So too, sometimes it's necessary for the chachamim, right, to literally amputate, to suspend the mitzvah, the Migdash Milsa. Under these conditions, don't fulfill the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar. And then, the Rambam quotes the pasuk, the drash of the chachamim, chalel Shabbos achas, kedei shishmor Shabbos asarbe. What is this drash that the Rambam quotes? Chalel Shabbos achas. This is a reference to the Gemara Yuma Daf Pehei Amud Beis. That's the Sugya Pikuach Nefesh. And the Gemara raises the crucial issue, what is the Makar of Pikuach Nefesh? How do you know a person, let's say, is Mechal Shabbos? The purpose is a Pikuach Nefesh. So the Gemara quotes a whole series of drashas. The drasha the Gemara says, L'maskana, is the most inclusive, is the drasha of Shmuel. Vayikra Yirches, the pasuk of V'chai Bahem. The mitzvahs of Torah are V'chai Bahem. One of the alternate rushes the Gemara quotes is that of Rav Shimon ben Asiya. The pasuk says in Shmos Lamed Aleph, the Shomer Bnei Yisrael of Shabbos. And what is accomplished through Shmir Shabbos? Shabbos becomes now the Doros of Risolon, everlasting. That's the drasha of Rav Shimon ben Asiya. Shmir Shabbos will preserve future Shmir Shabbos. But in turn, Chalel Shabbos Achas, Kedei Shishma Shabbos Asarbe. That's the drasha that Rambam quotes. The Netziv, in the very first piece in the Shultos, writes the following Kiddush. When you look at that Gemara in Yuma, Andah Pehei Amud Beis, the Gemara seems to adopt the drasha of Shmuel, of B'chai Bahem, not the drasha of Chalosh Shabbos Achas, Rav Shimon ben Asiya. So Netziv writes, not really. The Gemara just says the following. You see something from the drasha of Shmuel that you would not have known from Rav Shimon ben Asiya. And that's what about Safek Pikuach Nefesh? Not only is Pikuach Nefesh Doch Yisurin, even Safek Pikuach Nefesh. If all you had was the drush of Shem ben Asiya, maybe one would have said, Vadai Pikuach Nefesh, Kedei Sheyishmor Shabbos Asarbe definitively. But let's assume, possibly, we wouldn't necessarily know that one could be Mechal Shabbos, right, because one may be able to observe Shabbos Asarbe. But the drush of Shmuel, V'chai Bahem, means, absolutely, and not that you even put yourself in a situation of suffik pikuach nefesh. V'chai b'hem affirmatively, not only v'lo shiyamos b'hem, but not even you should put yourself in a situation where it's anything short of absolutely v'chai b'hem, potential loss of life. So that's the chiddush that Mitzvah points out, that the drasha of Shimon ben Asya is not rejected by halacha. The Gemara just says that the drasha of Shmuel teaches us a further chiddush, that suffik pikuach nefesh is docha shabbos. That's a very important comment, and it's Sifra writes. You read through that Gemara, you think the drasha of Shimon ben Asya is rejected. No, it's not rejected. It's chai v'kayim mahalacha. Why is that so important? For a few very crucial issues. Number one is this chiddush in the Rambam. Akira's Dovim in HaTorah. So for pikuach nefesh, good. We have Shmuel's drasha v'chai b'hem. But that concept of chalos shabbos achas is relevant for Akira Sarv Minatara. That's the Pasuk. The Netziv Neshotos quotes the Chiddush of the Ramban, in Torah Sada. Ramban writes an unbelievable Chiddush. Are you allowed to be Machal Shabbos to save the life of an Uber? So Ramban says the following Chiddush. What's the status of an Uber? Is an Uber considered to be a full ben chai, a full ben kayama, or not? If an Uber is considered to be a full ben kayama, you have the following problem. Why is it that the Mishnah says that, Chmanu l'Islan, you can sacrifice the life of the Vlad, of the Uber, to save the mother? What right do you have to do that? Why don't you say, Indoch nefesh tachas nefesh? Apparently, the fact that we give precedence to the life of the mother at times seems to indicate that the Vlad is not a full-fledged Ben Kayama. If the Vlad is not, the Ramban says, then is one allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for Nubar? A doctor will tell you that the life of the mother is not in jeopardy at all, but the vitality of the Vlad is in question. What right to have Mechal Shabbos? You know what the Ramban writes? Ah, unbelievable Chiddush. That you know from the drasha of Shimon ben Asya. Chalal Shabbos Achas, Kedei Shishmor Shabbos Asarabe. Unbelievable, Chiddush Rambam writes. V'chai bohem, maybe you need a full ben chai, a full bar kayama. But Rav Shimon Asya's dress also is crucial to halacha. The svar of Chalal Shabbos Achas, that pasuk of Shamru, can tell you that even if right now that's not the case, yeah, but Kedei Shishmor Shabbos Asarabe. Unbelievable. We've discussed in the past also the Mechaber and Simin Shinvav in Hilchos Shabbos. We just mentioned that already here in the case of Onis, just a few days ago, no? Can you be Mechal Shabbos not for a physical sakana, but for sakana of Ruchnius? Right, the Mechaber's case, Hotzi Bito Mi Beisel Al Tzimi Chlal Yisrael. Someone, Chas V'Sholom, right, snatches a child to acculturate them, to indoctrinate them, a cultist. For argument's sake, right, if we could determine there's no physical threat, the threat is one and just ruchnius. The Mechaber writes that we also treat as pikuach nefesh. How do you know that that's true? Yeah, Poshav Shab, that's part of the drasha of Shimon ben Asya. Chalal Shabbos Achas, Keshishmer, Shabbos Asarbe. Unbelievable. That's at Magen Avraham. I wanted you to see where the Magen Avraham discusses. And what if it's not acculturation? What if the person is being forced to violate a particular aver? Will that justify your dechias yisurim? Why? Because the person is obviously violating the aver, but ones gamur. If ones gamur is not a maisa aver whatsoever, could we argue that that would not justify your violating an aver to save someone from an ones? The Rama writes an ones doesn't even require tshuva. But the case where, right, that Shas Hashman, had the possibility of Mechlal Yisrael, Haltzia Mechlal Yisrael, in such a case, the Mechaber writes, well, that's called Pikuach Nefesh. That's an important Chiddush that now apparently you see, right, that drasha of Chalal Shabbos Achas. Certainly true la'alacha. So one of the nafkaminas, the Rambam writes, is that's the halacha of Akiras Darvim and Atalia. Yes, at times yes, but only as Harasha B'Shem Altasa, only as Harasha it's Bekum Esay, or as a Mitzvah Doros, if in fact it is B'Shem Altasa. There's a piece that Rabbi Chanan has in the Kovet Shurim, in the Kuntres Divrei Sofrim, in the very end of Simen Dal Os Yud Gimel. It's a fascinating piece to go through in general. Rabbi Chanan discusses to what extent is the Koach HaChachamim binding in air. That he quotes the Sifri and the Yerushalmi, many Maramakamas. So at the very end he writes that what's the pasuk for Akiras Darvim Min HaTorah? He thinks that's the drush of the Sifri. About Yamin Shu Smol and Afila Smol Shu Yamin. What does it mean? You have to listen to the Chachamim when they tell you your left is your right. Does it necessarily mean that the Kocham is binding an absolute air? So take a look. He quotes the Makaras. Quotes the Yushalmi and Harias. Makaran writes, no, Yamin Shu Smol, he thinks Pashav Shat means Akiras Darvim Min HaTorah. The Torah tells you to do A, the Chachamim tell you to do B. Not in error. Right? There's no error that don't blow shofar Rosh Hashanah Chayos B'Shabbos. There's no toast. But the Torah says to do something, the Chachamim say don't do it. Or the Torah says not to do something, the Chachamim say as Harasha to do it. How do you know that you listen to them? That's the Chiddush Rabbi Chanan writes. That he thinks is the pasuk of Lo Sasur. And Yamin Smol, meaning Yamin Shu Smol, Shmol Su Yamin, even they tell you absolutely to go against the Dinei Torah. There's a fascinating Tosfos in Sanhedrin, Daf Pei Tes Amud Beis, about the case of Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel. And the Kiras Darvim Min HaTorah B'Kum V'Seyez HaRasha. Tosfos has two names. Pretty incredible. Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel. Was that the Torah's Navi or was that the Torah's Chacham? Fascinating. Okay. That HaRasha, to violate the Issa D'Araisa, to serve as the vehicle, necessary to do tshuva, Tosfos has two days. Tosfos writes the Sugyan, Yevamos Daf Tzadi, it seems to indicate that Akiras Darvim Min HaTorah seems to say that Ilan Navi did so, not the Torah's Navi, the Torah's Chacham. And therefore, Bezdin has the right of Akiras Darvim Min HaTorah. The difficulty is, the Gemara Sanhedrin seems to indicate that this was at Alpi Hadibur. No, so if it's Alpi Hadibur, what right does the Gemara have to say that the Sanhedrin has a right to do so? So Tosfos writes the following Chiddush. No, but Eliyahu Navi did Zalpi HaDibur. But isn't that a difficulty? Don't we know that Ein Navi Rishai L'Chadesh Davar? A Navi can't, even Alpi HaDibur, get up and tell you that this mitzvah should not be fulfilled, or this is a new mitzvah. Ein Navi Rishai L'Chadesh Davar. What do you see? That if something is a Harasha, it's not called Chiddush Davar. A Navi will get up and say, never put on tefillin. Ein Rishon LaChadesh Davar. A Navi will tell you, Alpi Dibur, that because this compelling circumstance, this must be done as Harasha. That's not called the violation of Ein Rishon LaChadesh Davar. So Tosfos writes a pretty incredible Chiddush. If Lagabe Nevuah, that is not called Chiddush Davar, then Lagabe Hora is not called Akiras Davar Min HaTorah. It's a mashal. The Gemara Yevamos Daf Tzadi. If a Navi has a right to do so, so the Chacham has a right to do so. Ein Alkanami, Elo Bahara Karma was Batoras Navi. But just as it's not a breach of Inav Rishay L'Chadesh Davar, so also, this is not a breach of Abal Tosif. The Navi also can't add to the Mitzvah Hashem.